Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Having come now to the final two verses of 1 John chapter 2, we have also come to the subject of the second coming of Christ. That is a wonderful subject, and this is the first time that John has introduced that into his epistle. But it comes at the end of a section that warns about deceivers and false teachers and people who have departed from the faith, and then admonishes believers to be sure that we are abiding in Him. After telling us that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to enable us to abide in Him, in fact, even I'd have to make it stronger than that, the Holy Spirit has been given to believers to assure that they will abide in Him until they are safely home. Nevertheless, in what to some would seem to be a paradoxical statement, the Apostle John turns right around in verse 28 and commands us to abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him. But as we have seen in the broadcast previously, that admonition is given on the foundation of some very important information. As I told you on the broadcast last week, the imperatives of the Bible grow out of indicatives. The commands of the Bible grow out of information. The Christian religion is a religion of doctrine, of teaching, of truth, of information to be understood and believed. And as we do understand it and believe it, then it calls us to certain responses, certain actions that grow inevitably out of the teaching that we have absorbed. And we see that pattern all throughout the Bible, and we see it here in the last two verses of 1 John. So we're going to explore that a little bit more on this Monday, May 21, as we gather together around the Word of God in 1 John chapter 2. And I remind you that the only way we can do this is by the financial gifts of radio listeners just like you. All right, let me read the entirety of these two verses. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. All right, following our pattern, the imperatives grow out of the indicatives. We start first with the imperative in verse 28, which is something for us to do, namely to abide in Him, to live in the light of the truth that God has given us, to let the Word of God abide in you, dwell in you, so that you are abiding in Him. You will only be close to Christ to the extent that you are close to His Word. You will only have right concepts of Jesus Christ to the extent that you are saturated with the Word of God that tells you about Jesus Christ, that gives you correct information about who He is. You will only understand the will of God to the extent that you understand the Word of God. And by the Word of God, I mean the Bible, the inscripturated Word of God, the written Word of God, the Word that God has given to us in a book called the Bible. And only to the extent that you have a good knowledge of God's Word will you have anything approaching a good knowledge of God's will. That is, a good knowledge of His thoughts, His mind, His desires, His plans. You can only know that from the Bible. And so, there is something to do, abide in Him, but it is based upon something to know. And the something to know is, number one, that Jesus is coming again, and number two, that righteousness characterizes true believers. These are two important truths, and both of them relate to the command to abide in Him. The first one, Jesus is coming again, what a wonderful doctrine. That doctrine tells us that He could appear at any time, and we're going to stand before Him, and we are either going to be stand before Him with confidence or with shame. And the difference between those two possible responses is how faithfully we have followed the instruction to abide in Him. If we are abiding at Him when He appears, we will have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming, which is exactly what John tells us in verse 28. But if we are not abiding in Him consciously, actively, intentionally, I'm not talking about being removed from Him in the sense of a saved person losing their salvation. In that sense, it is impossible for a true Christian not to abide in Him. But if we are not intentionally walking in the light as He is in the light, intentionally cultivating our fellowship with Him day by day, intentionally confessing our sins to Him day by day and asking His help, His forgiveness and His help, that we might live according to the light of His Word, intentionally drawing close to Jesus Christ through His Word, if we're not doing that, then we are not actively abiding in Him as we can and ought to do. And what is the result of that? We're going to be ashamed. There are two possible responses for a believer in the light of Christ's return. Back to verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence. That's the response that we want to have. That's the response that John wants us to have. That's why he tells us to do this, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So, the first response, the right response, the best response, the response that I trust that both of us, that all of us desire, is to have confidence, that is boldness, absence of fear when speaking to Him, to see Him face to face, and to be able to talk to Him, to talk to our Savior face to face when He appears. But the other response is one of shame. And that word means shrinking back because of guilt. Some Christians are going to be guiltily surprised and guiltily ashamed when Jesus Christ returns. They weren't expecting Him at this time. If they had only known that He was coming at this particular time, then they would have cleaned up their lives and they'd started living right, and they would have been better prepared for Him. But of course, that's the teaching of the New Testament, isn't it? That the coming of Jesus Christ is not known, the time of it. Nobody can know the time. And one of the purposes of that is so that God's children will be constantly ready. He could come today. Are you ready? If He should come today, will you have confidence before Him? Or will you be ashamed before Him at His coming? If you knew for certain that He was coming tomorrow, and of course nobody can know that, but if you knew for certain He was coming tomorrow, what would you need to do? What would you need to scramble and do today to get ready for His coming, so that you would not be ashamed, shrinking back because of guilt, surprised by His return, like Adam in the garden after he disobeyed God. And he shrank back from God because of guilt. We're told that God came to meet with Adam in the garden as he did every day. That must have been a wonderful experience, to be guiltless and to have an unhindered relationship and to have a personal relationship with God who comes to commune with Adam every day in the cool of the garden. And there must have been a time that Adam looked forward to every day, until one day he wasn't looking forward to it, until one day he hid himself. And God came and said, "Adam, where are you? Where are you?" He was hiding himself because of guilt and shame. He finally was flushed out of his hiding place, and he met God with averted face and shrinking form. Because he was guilty. He had disobeyed God. He did not want to see him. And by the way, that's the characteristic of all sinners, which means all people, until they have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, until they have been born again by the work of the Spirit of God and have been justified before God and are living in a desire to please him and to serve him, all sinners other than that are running from God. Someone has said that sinners are looking for God like a thief is looking for a policeman. I don't think so. Someone who knows they are guilty of a crime shrinks in fear and apprehension whenever they see a policeman. I wonder if he knows. I wonder if he's coming after me. I wonder if that policeman who's following me right now is going to stop me because he knows what I have done. It's a terrible way to live. I don't know about you, but I don't have feelings of fear and trepidation and concern when I find a policeman is following me on the street. Now, if I know I'm speeding, that's a different story. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's an offense. That's a violation of the law. That is a crime. I'm guilty of something. And if I'm speeding and suddenly a policeman appears behind me, I have a start. And I'm hoping very much that he's not planning to haul me in as I gradually slow down to the proper speed. I'm sure I'm the only one who does anything like that. I'm glad you don't. But normally, if I'm driving along city street, highway, whatever, and a policeman comes in behind me, I'm not at all concerned. That doesn't cause me to fear. That doesn't cause me any anxiety because I have nothing to be afraid of. I'm not guilty of anything that I know of. So why should I be afraid of a policeman? He's here to apprehend lawbreakers, and I'm not in that category. He's here to stop criminals, and I'm not in that category. But a thief is looking for a policeman like a sinner is looking for God. It doesn't happen that way. Sinners run from God. They don't come to God. But the sad thing is that it's even possible for Christians to be ashamed before Jesus Christ at his coming. If Christ appeared today, what would be your first impulse? Would it be to run and meet him with gladness, with joy, with enthusiasm, or to shrink back from him out of guilt and shame? Well, if that would be your case, and you know that, then you have some business to do, some sins to confess, and some cultivation of a new abiding relationship that you are not experiencing right now. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.